I should be sorry if I only entertained them with music. I wish to make them better. Hello, and welcome to the Basket Case Immersive on Robert Burridge. In this episode, we'll take a deep dive into some core themes from Robert's experiences to try and understand what's going on between our ears in those moments. When we shine a light on the human pitfalls at play, you can add action and awareness to your bag of trick shots next tournament. Think of everything you're about to hear as a jumping off point for you to discover what works for you and your own mental game. So take it or leave it. Also, the advice you're about to hear is conversational, not clinical. I am not a mental health professional or a sports psychologist, but I do believe that if you've ever had your mental game fail you, you are not weird. In fact, you're in good company. So let's get ready to flex our mental muscles and shake it off. Come on, y'all. MPO Rookie of the Year 2022, Robert Burridge is an up-and-comer and an awesome guy. I loved hearing his stories, and I'm really excited to break down his experiences. If you haven't listened to Robert's episode yet, go take a listen and then come back. The first theme that stood out to me from Robert was music. He uses his playlist of 1,500-plus songs during practice rounds or to set or alter his mood or distract or occupy his System 1 thinking so he can get into a state of focus and flow. Here's what he said in the episode.
Generally, I try to keep things calm but upbeat, where it's like it's not as necessarily fast-paced as some like rap or rock songs, but it's not like a super slow, sad song either.
In 1977, Kara Gorgas and Terry studied the effects of music on performance and found that when competition in athletes' skills and abilities are close, music had the potential to elicit a small but significant effect on performance. Robert mentioned finding songs that put him in just the right mood for activating his flow state. What Robert is describing is called arousal regulation, and it is one of the five key ways in which music can influence preparation and competitive performance. Those five things are: first, disassociation; second, arousal regulation; third, synchronization; fourth, acquiring motor skills; and lastly, the attainment of flow. So let's break those five down. First is dissociation. When you are playing a disc golf round or doing another kind of moderate exercise, the right song has the power to narrow your attention, in turn diverting the mind from any sensations of fatigue. This diversionary technique, known to psychologists as dissociation, lowers perceptions of effort. You're basically listening to music to distract yourself from what's happening. Listening to the right song affects your mood state to be more positive and distracts you from any fatigue and negative emotions such as tension, depression, and anger. This dissociative effect helped reduce perceived exertion on treadmill runners by 10%. However, they found that during a very taxing, high-intensity workout, that the benefit of dissociating from the discomfort dropped off. Listening to music in those situations did help you enjoy it more, even though it didn't make it feel easier to do. Which leads into the next item, arousal regulation. We've talked on the podcast before about things you can do to give your mental game what it needs in that moment, whether that's psyching you up with something fast-paced after a par streak and you need to score, or psyching you down with something slow and soothing to calm your nervous system to loosen up, relax, and tap into your muscle memory. Music alters our emotional and physiological arousal, so it makes a perfect sedative or stimulant and can be deployed on demand. Two-time Olympic gold medalist Dame Kelly Holmes used soulful ballads like Alicia Keys' Killing Me Softly in her pre-event routine at the Athens Games of 2004. Not only do our physiological processes tend to react sympathetically to music's rhythmical components, i.e. fast tempos help us raise our frequency and intensity, and slow tempos allow us to pause, breathe, and relax, but it is often lyrics or extra musical associations that make an impact on our emotions. Have you ever been in a round and found yourself playing a song on repeat to help distract or soothe you? I absolutely did this once at a tournament I played in Vegas, where I listened to Harry Styles' As It Was, literally on repeat, every round for 2 days. It was the upbeat vibe and certain lyrics and themes I could latch onto to focus into my body. Lyrics like, "Holding me back, gravity's holding me back," put me in this fighter's mood to throw as far as I possibly could on my drive to prove everything wrong, even a force like gravity. Lyrics like, "I want you to hold out the palm of your hand, why don't we leave it at that?" calmed me down on the putting green and reminded me to just paint the pole in a simple motion, and that if I just got the putt in, I wouldn't have to putt twice. It's a simple move, just get it in and get out. This song isn't like a favorite song of mine or anything, but that weekend, that tournament, those shots, it's what I needed. I won that tournament separating myself and being the only one to shoot under par the last round. The third key way music helps with performance is synchronization. Research has consistently shown that synchronization of music with repetitive exercise is associated with increased levels of work output. This is like those factory workers singing some kind of like tune to help them work faster, but it also applies to such activities as rowing, cycling, cross-country skiing, and running. Musical tempo can regulate movement and thus prolong performance. Synchronizing movements with music also enables athletes to perform more efficiently, again, resulting in greater endurance. In a recent study, participants who cycled in time to music found that they required 7% less oxygen to do the same work as compared to cycling with background, asynchronous music. The implication is that music provides temporal cues that have the potential to make athletes' energy use more efficient. Another study found that motivational synchronous music improved running speed by about 0.5 seconds in a 400-meter sprint compared to a no-music control. There was an Ethiopian distance runner famous for setting world records who ran to the song Scatman. He selected that song in particular because the tempo perfectly matched his target stride rate and allowed him to establish a steady, efficient running cadence. The fourth key is the acquisition of motor skills. This kind of brain-body connection is patterned in your brain from the time you were a child. As a kid, you danced and played to music, and those instances created opportunities to explore different planes of motion and improve and wire your future coordination. Now as an adult, music can guide your body through effective movement patterns and makes the learning environment more fun, increasing your intrinsic motivation to master key skills. The lyrics from well-chosen music can reinforce essential aspects of fine motor technique, like the song Push It by Salt and Peppa. That's so stupidly. Helps a track athlete doing the shot put to reinforce the idea that the shot should be put, not thrown. Or me hearing Mr. Styles say, "Hold out the palm of your hand," to reinforce my wrist finishing at the pole on my putting stroke. We are going to hear the last key way music can improve your game by entering flow states and how to literally shake off a bad shot after a quick ad break. Stay with us. If you're listening to Basket Case, you will likely be getting some new disc golf gear soon. Some of my favorite discs I've owned I found at infinitediscstour.com. They have pictures of every disc, so you can find a disc that has good vibes and know exactly what you're getting. They carry basically every retailer, so that obscure favorite that just went swimming could be replaced after all. You can also sell them your used or new discs that don't work for your game before you throw them in the water, so someone else can. If you're a TD, their payout and sponsorship options can streamline the whole process for you and allow your winners to get what they want. They do player packs and trophies too. Check out what they can do by going to infinitediscstour.com. That's infinitediscstour.com. Wild Pack Sports wants to help people get outdoors and thrive through adventure, sport, and mindfulness. If you're looking for more control or stamina in stressful situations, Their mindfulness sessions can help you develop habits to use on and off the course. Whether you're staring down a 30-footer for the win or surviving a trip to the grocery store with your kids, a lesson on breathwork, mindfulness, or a cold plunge can give you the tools you need to thrive. Sessions can be in person or virtual, so get started today by going to wildpacksports.com. Wild Pack Sports, control the moment, control the outcome. Lastly, and most beautifully, is the attainment of flow. Flow is a state of mind achieved when we feel completely focused and engaged in a task. We lose our perception of time and concentrate on the moment, without distraction or dilution, to perform at extremely high levels. These are the moments we are all striving to accomplish when we talk about peak performance. It's being engrossed in an activity that makes the rest of the world disappear, even if only for a few seconds. Most athletes refer to this as being in the zone. Riki Waisaki calls it full blackout mode. Flow is a collaboration between our kinesthetic physiological systems and our inner world. People don't often talk about the kinesthetic experience of mental states, but if you pay attention, you can feel them. Becoming conscious of your flow states is an amazing first step. I'm a graphic designer by profession, and in my 10-plus creative career, I've come to realize the conditions that prime me to enter flow and to stay in it. You can use music to foster a flow state, and that will vary depending on the activity and you as an individual. It's very personal. Still, any music can be used to help someone enter a flow state as it helps get rid of external distractors. In some cases, athletes use music as a flow state trigger that signals to the mind and body that it's time to buckle down and concentrate. This, over time, will prime your brain to enter flow when it hears the cue of the song or the playlist as part of your ritual. Flow states are notoriously elusive and hard to enter and easy to exit. So if you're going into a round and listening to music, be sure to hit Do Not Disturb on your phone so you don't get any unnecessary distractions. Once the flow state is broken, it can be hard to find again. Keep in mind that many also struggle to turn off internal feedback. Those who find the flow state difficult to access might benefit from a short meditation to clear or calm the mind beforehand, or finding songs that put you into that headspace to play before a round. Consider the focus of a top athlete like double Olympic medal winning rower James Cracknell. He has an ability to enter the zone and become highly motivated in order to achieve his goals. One technique that Cracknell used was to listen to loud rock music just before competition in order to create an optimal mindset for his race. Cracknell's musical preferences steered him towards things like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but music is so personal, so consider what kind of music you love and the kinds of music that gets you motivated into your winning mindset. Marathon world record holder Paula Radcliffe quoted, "In training buildups for major races, I put together a playlist and listen to it during the run-in. It helps me psych up and reminds me of the times in the buildup when I've worked really hard or felt good. With the right music, I do a much harder workout." Many pros I interviewed for this 2022 off-season use music in some way in their routine or during a round, and so I created a Pro Pick Spotify playlist with those songs. If you want to take a listen, we will post about it on socials and put a link in the show notes, so check it out. I wanted to cover one last auditory tool with this episode that recently came across my radar that I found so interesting, and that is binaural beats. Where I live in Utah is a little bit of an enigma. There's a lot of radical religion, and every once in a while, there's these little pockets of spirituality and secular wellness ideas that make it into the mainstream culture. Lately, I've been hearing a lot about these sound bowls and sound baths, basically using different tones and resonant sounds to promote whatever the hell it is you want to promote. Very woo-woo. But binaural beats right now live a bit in that realm, as they are based in scientific research on brain states, and there have been a few studies that show listening to them can help decrease anxiety, but the research is still ongoing, small, and whatever, the jury's still out. I think the idea, however, is really interesting. A binaural beat is when two tones of slightly different frequencies are played in separate ears simultaneously, usually through headphones. Your brain perceives the creation of a new third tone whose frequency is equivalent to the difference between the two tones being played. That auditory illusion is called a binaural beat. For example, if a person hears a tone of 405 Hz in one ear and a tone of 415 Hz in the other, they would be hearing a binaural beat of a frequency of 10 Hz. Subtraction, everybody. They are said to provide many of the same benefits as meditation: lower stress, increased focus, aid with sleep and relaxation, boosting mood, assisting with pain management, and fostering creativity. Binaural beats between 1 and 30 Hz are alleged to create the same brainwave pattern that one would experience during meditation. When you listen to a sound with a certain frequency, your brainwaves will synchronize with that frequency. The theory is that binaural beats can help create the frequency needed for your brain to create the same waves commonly experienced during meditation. The use of binaural beats in this way is sometimes called brainwave entrainment technology, which makes it sound way weird and cool. There are a ton of apps that provide these beats if you want to try them out and experiment and see for yourself if it helps you. I will link the one that I was testing out in the show notes. The last theme from Robert I wanted to break down is a nifty little trick he does to literally shake it off after a bad shot and reset. Here's what he said in the episode.
Usually if I have a very errant shot, something I learned from my dad was trying to almost reset your head, basically. And so what I do is, like, I take off a hat because I'm always wearing a hat, and literally just like shaking your head for like a second or 2 seconds and just like getting yourself to refocus in and be like, all right, you know these shots, you just have to execute them.
Literally shake it off and then put it back on and start fresh.
Exactly. It really is just like shake it off, reset, and keep playing the way you know how to play.
I love this strategy of physically acting out something you want your brain to adapt. It's strengthening that brain-body connection and priming your brain to do what it needs to. We can influence what happens to the subconscious without even realizing it through the psychological principle of priming. Priming is an unconscious process where exposure to one stimulus influences the reaction to a subsequent one. Without conscious awareness, the brain makes representations and associations that often shape our thoughts or actions. The power of priming is not new. Vance Packard's groundbreaking work, The Hidden Persuaders, published in 1957, explored the psychological and subliminal techniques used in advertising. Since then, we have a wealth of research illuminating how unconscious processes like priming influence our thoughts, emotions, and behaviors. Even simple actions can shape our emotions and how we feel. For example, college students were asked to read the Far Side cartoons, you know, those like weird calendar, whatever, silly caveman things, and rate them for humor. One group was asked to read them while holding a golf pencil horizontally between their teeth, forcing them to kind of make a smiley face with their mouth. A second group was asked to read them holding a golf pencil vertically, forcing a frowning expression, which sounds so crazy. Those holding a pencil between their teeth horizontally rated the same cartoon significantly funnier than the other group. They also reported feeling more lighthearted and less serious. Your mental game can benefit from any small action that reinforces a mental mantra or state of mind you want to achieve, as it creates the ritual and the visualization. One baseball pitcher would always, without fail, physically wipe the slate clean after a bad pitch by smoothing the dirt in front of the mound with his foot before his next attempt. And this signaled to his body that it can forget that and start fresh. Similarly, power poses have a brain-body function. Amy Cuddy's research found that high power poses, like standing with your legs wide and your arms stretched wide above your head, and holding that for just 2 minutes, decreased cortisol levels by 25% and raised testosterone by 20%. That's huge. That is a dramatic shift on a biochemistry level in the body from this simple physical action, triggering the psychological response you want by giving your brain physiological cues. I want to thank Robert again for a great episode. He had a lot of good tips and tricks and a lot of fun experiences. That's it for today, everyone. Go out there, and if things go sideways, shake it off, especially if you're a Swiftie. As always, sources for this episode are linked in the show notes, so check those out. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, no guts, no glory, no brains, no chains. Goodbye.
The one take-home message I would give is that there's a lot more important things in life than disc golf.